You're listening to the Oscar Mike Media Podcast.
Welcome to episode 55 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. And I can't speak.
Do you want to try it
week.
Again?
No, fuck it. We'll just get carry on.
What do you mean this week?
Take two?
No. I'm just going to keep going. One take Lipscomb, which is just not true at all.
That's what she said.
You know what that means?
Better than lung pimp Lipscomb.
Yeah, lung pimp Lipscomb.
No. Sorry, I didn't say it very well.
Lung pimp?
Yeah, lung pimp Lipscomb.
As you can hear, we've got Peter, Lewis and Kev here this week. They're all here. They're mocking
Hello.
Me so they get interested.
Hello.
Should we do this again?
No, we're not. We're just carrying on. Peter's back and he's not dead. Wow. Hello.
Yay!
Hooray.
Hooray.
Not dead.
Yeah.
I'm so pleased.
You did go to hospital, but they made sure you weren't dead, which is generally what hospitals are for.
Yep.
Which is handy.
Unless Andrew Lansley has his way. Yeah.
Topical.
Well, I think they'd still be for...
Oh, yeah, that's a new angle I'm going
I'm pretty
for.
Sure, if the service might not be quite as good in private healthcare, I'm not convinced that the companies would change the objective to making sure you died.
Well, you never know with these private evil corporations.
That's true. It was
I may have added an adjective or two in there.
I have experienced private healthcare. It was delicious.
Delicious?
Yeah.
Delicious.
But frightfully expensive?
Yeah, probably. My health insurance paid for it when I had a job that had health insurance.
The way you say...
Were you in America at the time?
No. The way you say delicious, did they give you, like, cake while you were there or something?
Actually, yes.
Oh, that is fairly delicious,
amazing.
Then. I'll give you that.
I went in for a consultation and got, like, little biscuits and little cakes.
That is rather nice.
And quite nice coffee.
Try them.
Fancy.
I don't get that. Yeah. I go to the drop-in surgery in town. I go there and they don't even have real cups for the water. They're little cone things.
So you can't set them down.
Here.
You should go to QA. Yeah,
the cone
the
of
only
water.
Thing they give you is HIV.
I missed that, Lewis.
I said go to the QA in Portsmouth. The only thing they give you is HIV.
Wow. All right.
I would like to say it's probably not true.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly, yeah. I got better.
Other VDs are available.
Allegedly, according to Lewis. Which I don't really trust Lewis's opinion on most things, so...
Well, aren't you
Can I just
charming?
Point out, before we actually start doing anything useful with the podcast, that I'm eating Glenfiddich whiskey cake that Jason
sent. Yeah, it was nice of him, wasn't
wow.
it?
Wow. That sounds amazing.
It is delicious. It's like a really rich fruitcake, but it's
you
been soaked
whiskey
in whiskey.
And cake?
I do. It's like my two favourite things.
Oh.
And it just arrived in the post.
Can I also point out that... I was rudely interrupted cooking to make a podcast, so I haven't actually eaten dinner yet, so that might happen halfway through.
Just to put I had on. A nice...
None of us have eaten because we were waiting for you.
I had a sandwich because I always get well grumpy by the end of the podcast.
What was in it?
It was the New York deli sandwich from the co-op. It's quite nice. It's like a deli bagel, but in sandwich form.
Yeah, no, deli's just a place.
Oh, no, sorry, a New York bagel. You know what I mean? Like gherkins and stuff. Do people know what a New York bagel is?
You don't know what was in your sandwich, do you?
A New York bagel is... If you go most places, it'll be like to a bagel place. It's normally this is a New York bagel. It's pastrami, cheese, gherkins, and lettuce, I think. And mustard.
Sounds
delicious. Really,
really, really good. And I can get it in bagel form at Bagel Man. Because...
I like
bagel Man is the only acceptable bagel place in Britain.
Is it true that bagels are as much bread stuff as like 5 slices of bread?
Yes.
Probably.
Wow.
They do feel quite dense, so...
Mm. Yeah, I feel quite bad about eating 3 of them for lunch now.
Yeah, but sorry. Bagels are awesome. I went to college once and I was still a little bit drunk when I rocked into college and there was a Tesco's nearby. And so I went and bought, like, 4 loaves of bread and just ate them all.
Okay.
The life of a student.
Just like, I got two big baguettes and then a cheesy baguette and then just, like, a loaf of Hovis. I just went back to college and ate it all.
Well, Kate got a bread maker for her most recent birthday. And that was she got it last weekend, and I've just eaten so much bread this
bread
week.
Yeah, bread makes amazing.
But just, you know, kind of bread bloatedness, that kind of wheat bloats.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. You ever get that?
Right.
Wheaty bloaty.
Wheaty bloaty.
Yeah. That's what I call it anyway.
But can you make bread soaked in whiskey?
I've not tried putting any whiskey in the ingredients.
See, my...
I've got some slow gin that Charlotte made us for New Year's, but... Oh, no, it's a housewarming present.
My personal theory is beer bread, because beer's got yeast in it and bread's got yeast in it. And beer's got water in it and bread's got water
Therefore,
in
they
it.
Are definitely compatible.
Bread is basically just beer that you bake.
Yeah, exactly. With a bit of flour in it.
Basically.
That's what I've done.
Should we do a podcast?
Apparently, this is... This is 8
p.m. now,
this
by
is,
the way.
This is what we do the podcast about.
Partly my fault, sure.
It's about beer and bread and...
I mean, I'm having fun and everything, but the listeners are expecting a very strict agenda. Yeah.
So. I made cider bread once.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah? How'd that go?
It was very nice. Apple-y.
Talking of apples...
Apples don't have yeast in them.
Hey,
talking
nice!
Of apples... yesterday, Apple, at a rather nice press event hosted by Mr. Tim Cook, announced the iPad...
Knocked out of the fucking park by Mr. Lipscomb.
Really did.
Well done.
iPad 3 is a thing. As we all know.
Although that's not what they're calling it. It's just the new iPad.
It's like fancy in that.
They're not calling it iPad 3,
is it not called iPad 3? Is it just iPad again?
No. It's called the new iPad, is how they've referred to it the whole way along.
Mm-hmm. What's it say on the site? Because it's up for pre-order now.
On the marketing material, I believe it just says the new iPad. Let me just...
Yeah, I think they're talking...
Resolutionary.
Jesus.
What it says
nice.
On the site.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it does. The new iPad, it calls it on the Apple.com.
Let me see what the store says. Apple Store.
I bet if when you actually buy one, I bet it arrives in a box and the box just says iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, it just...
It won't
it just,
say the new iPad. It
won't say
iPad 3.
You can't do a reboot after the second one.
The
second one was the same.
No, because wasn't that iPad 2?
Yeah, the second...
That's what everybody called it, but it just says iPad
like
on the box.
I'd like to confirm here that on the Apple site... They have in the big box on the Apple and the Apple Store, the big box at the top on the iPad page says the new iPad, and then just below that it says iPad 2.
Oh,
yeah. So there.
Weird.
But we can't keep calling it the new iPad forever. That's like the new Xbox experience.
That's like putting a new folder on your computer. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just call it.
The next one will just be called New iPad, and then in brackets, one.
Yeah. Or New
just
iPad.
Just call it iPad 3, Jesus.
New actual new iPad final.
Why could they not just go with iPad 3? They'd established a naming convention. It was a nice, simple one.
Because Apple don't do numbers.
I know.
They kind of do. They just don't know quite how they work. It goes 3G, 3G.
Well, no, that's... Well, I suppose the 3 was numbered numerically, but...
And then 3G was a technology that just happened.
No, it wasn't, because
they had the iPhone,
and then they had the
3G,
iPhone.
Then the iPhone 3GS, and the iPhone 4, which was the fourth one, and the iPhone 4S.
The iPhone 4 was numbered.
And then, I guess the next one...
Yeah, because there was no iPhone 2, was there?
Yeah, so theoretically, the next one, if they want to stay with numbering, has to be 6.
iPhone 5? 6,
because it's the 6th iteration.
All right.
But they'll say, I think it was Teflon, actually, that said via Twitter that he thinks the next iPad, or in a couple of years, the iPad that they release, they'll end up just calling it the iPad Pro.
Probably.
Interesting. Apple. But then that would imply that they're going to have tiers of
iPads. No, because the MacBook Pros are still called MacBook Pros, but they don't sell MacBooks anymore. Apple just make up bullshit naming conventions.
Yes.
Because they're crazy.
And we lap it up every time.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a bit faster than that.
Bit faster, it's going to have a gorgeous screen. I can't wait
more
to see that
HD
retina
than
display.
HD.
No, we fucking hate it at work, because me and the designer just sat down today and went, oh, fuck, got to change all the assets.
That's true, because from my admittedly very limited iOS development knowledge, you don't deal with pixels, you deal with points, which are then converted to pixels later in the day, so you can have the same sort of coordinates.
That's perfectly true. But you need high-resolution assets if you want native to make them look correctly.
That's true.
Because a lot of our stuff is web-based, we have to alter a lot of our web assets to take account of the new resolution.
Boo.
Because
And no, surely
it's web-based to avoid the Apple vetting process.
That's not true. I deny that those aspersions distinctly.
Yeah.
In a don't let me get fired kind of way.
Interesting. So that hadn't occurred to me. So like web apps don't have to go through the vetting process.
Nope, because they're just a URL that you can go to on Safari.
Also, no, we don't make web apps. We make apps that have to go through the App Store because then you can sell them. It's very difficult to actually sell web apps. But what we do is we have websites that sit inside the app because it lets us update the content much quicker. So that if you want to change something, you don't have to put it through the App Store approval process.
That's clever.
It is rather good. It works very well. It's very effective.
We're very tangential today, aren't we?
Yes.
If I can use that as an adjective.
I like that word.
Thanks. I didn't invent it.
This is interesting because I've started designing NextAxis. Mm.
And I've started developing in iOS.
So there you go.
It's almost relevant. Like we've got the skills to become a team of something.
Yeah. I'll just be over here.
Writing music.
Yeah, you can do the sound design. I mean, sure, we could all do the sound design, but that's not the point.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah, I couldn't do the sound design. It'd be terrible. It's you and Lewis, basically.
All right. Fight to the death?
Right, strip down, I'll get the oil.
Yeah. What? I didn't agree to these terms and conditions.
Yeah.
I probably did. I never read them.
It was in the latest Apple update.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you've agreed to their terms and conditions...
Maybe I'll have a look at this new Apple things. Got to the end of page one, and it said 1 of 65.
And you were like, no!
As if anyone's going to read the next 64 pages.
Yeah.
Just mental.
It is shocking on the iPhone.
It is. This terrible.
It's hardly user-friendly.
No.
But I suppose they need to get all their legal... technicalities in.
Exactly. Particularly as they're selling shit, that's the main thing. It always makes it quite tricky when you're selling stuff.
Page, like, 60 is where you agree to sell your soul to them by clicking agree.
Who did that?
They don't put it right at the end in case, you know, you skip to the end.
Game did that, didn't they? On April Fool's Day.
Something like that, yeah.
To prove that no one reads the small print, they put it... it was in the terms and conditions when you bought something off the site. It said you agree to give your soul to us. To kind of try and raise awareness of small print in contracts.
Was that Game, was it?
I think it was Game. Talking of Game, they're fucked.
They are.
Well, no. Game, it's looking worse. Last week I was a bit optimistic. Who is rustling with things?
I'm putting my cake away.
Can you stop?
I don't want it to go stale.
No, that's fair. It's a very
I can't sit here and eat an entire whiskey cake.
I ate about a third of a cheesecake the other day. It was awesome.
Yeah, but you eat bread by the loaf.
I do. True. I'm a bread fiend.
You should get a bread maker.
I should get a bread maker. Oh, no, it'd be terrible. I'd eat too much.
It's amazing. You can have new bread in, like, 2 hours.
I know. It's really good. And
you don't even have to go to the shops.
I found it doesn't go off as quickly as normal bread does.
I know, which is weird, because it doesn't have any of the preservatives.
What I found is it goes stale quicker than normal bread does, but it doesn't go off.
The mould doesn't start appearing.
But I think that's kind of the trade-off you get.
We segued really nicely into Game and quite quickly moved on to bread.
Yeah, I know. So basically Game are fucked. Game, the outlook is probably not looking brilliant at the minute, in that they seem to be having a fire sale on most of their stock. Which is never a good indication for a company.
Having a
fire
what?
Sale.
Right.
Yeah, just getting rid of it. I think they started today with their pre-owned stuff, and there's big rumours that tomorrow a lot of new stuff's going to go into it, and some like pre-owned hardware and stuff.
Oh, cool, maybe I'll get Mass Effect. Not. Satire, see? It's my new thing.
It won't include the new stuff, because the new stuff isn't actually owned by Game.
Yeah. But
since the last worries that they had,
it's not looking good right now.
No, it is very much looking like get some sort of revenue coming in as quickly as possible, doesn't it? Which sort of looks like keeping the administrators is that the right word?
The administrators.
Yeah, keeping them out for as long as possible while they reshuffle and possibly sell off their Spanish and Portuguese shops to GameStop.
Yeah. And build themselves back up. And then rule the world.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
happened. Possibly.
That's my theory. It's all rumours.
Yeah, it's just a way of clearing out all that old shit pre-owned stock that they don't like selling anyway.
Then what's going to happen is they actually go by GameStop and just no one noticed.
Yeah. Would anybody like GameStop to properly come to the UK? High streets and all that?
I don't know.
I don't really know what difference it would
make. You hear very disreputable things about them from consumers in the US.
Yeah.
So...
But we do have trading standards in this.
No, it's more just the way they pressure you. Like, if you think pressure for sale at game is bad, GameStop is probably 10 to 20 times worse. They really pressure you in there. I occasionally get pressured, like, a little bit in game or game station. GameStop pressure you to take out warranties on games. Not on hardware, just on the game itself.
Does that even work?
Yeah, basically, in case the disc gets scratched, you can take it back.
Weird.
Or weird. I think it's
not as bad as in W.H. Smith, though, where they try and give you Cadbury's Dairy Milk while you pre-order Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, but it's always like a pound. Like, ooh.
Yeah, but as somebody who used to work at W.H. Smith in the pre-ordering Harry Potter era, we were forced to do that. We didn't like it.
Oh, yeah, I was forced to do stuff when I worked at Morrison's. Bad, bad stuff.
I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
No, they...
Show us on the leg of lamb where they took it.
No, when I worked...
Show us where the leg of lamb went.
I worked on the butcher, but before I worked on the butcher, I worked on the checkouts. And they always used to try and get us to push the Morrison saving scheme on people. So would you like any...
At Smith, they used to use Terry's Chocolate Orange as an incentive. Whoever got the most pre-orders in the day got a Terry's Chocolate Orange.
That doesn't sound good.
I'm sure that's not legal.
My mum did get something, actually. I can't remember what it was, but she was like... Yeah, her boss gave her a thing at Christmas for, like, managing to fulfil all the stuff. She works at the post office at the minute. And it was, like, managing to sell enough...
She filled every book of stamps there.
Just, like, selling enough travel insurance or something.
I assume people at the post office have to fill books of stamps.
Yes.
That's manually. Part of the day-to-day duties, yeah. I was at the post office earlier today, and the woman in front of me, obviously an old woman, because that's most of the inhabitants of a post office. Just a bit of backstory, the post office in Brighton is in the WH Smith. So about 5 minutes into queuing, we were nearing the front, and she looked round, and she looked at the package that I was holding. And then she looked at me, and she said, "Is this the post office queue?" And I went, "Yeah." And she went, "Oh," and left. That was strange. I assume she wanted to pay for her box of staples or whatever it was that she'd bought at WH Smith, but failed to notice all the massive signs that say post office.
What?
She was too busy cooing over the baby in the pram in front.
What amuses me in there is that they've tried to do some like nice, like try to sell stuff to people, because right next to the post office, they've got all those envelopes, haven't they? But now they have a sign that actually says you need to go pay for the envelope before you use it at the post office. Like, go buy it from Smith's. Yeah.
Bad system.
Yes.
The tills are so far away.
Yeah, it's...
No, our post office is in, like, a little shop as well. It's got, like, a convenience shop on one side, and then it's in, like, a stationery shop. Yeah. But it's not, like, a branded shop. But you can just pick up the envelopes and, like, write on them and stick your stamp on them and pay for them when you post them.
See, that's far more convenient.
That's good. Yeah, but a corporate chain's not going to let you just start writing on envelopes without paying for them.
I was going to big up actually the benefits of little shops, because the little shop I go into near my house, and I quite often buy energy drinks from there. And I was in there today, and the guy was like, "Oh, you're not getting the thing you like normally." I was like, "Well,
is that Al's Energy Drink Emporium?"
No. It's called Super News, I believe. And I went in there, I went up and didn't get my normal thing. He said, "Oh, you got your thing." I said,
Eric! I should have said
the
Eric.
Right one.
Sorry.
He said, "We haven't got the one I like anymore." And he made a note of it and said, "Oh, I'll change one of the stock round and I'll make sure I get that instead of this one next time."
What a lovely man.
So, yeah, he's changing what he's stocking specifically for me. Which was...
He'll probably be out of business soon.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, that'll be a Tesco Metro by this time next week.
No, they've been there for ages. They're really good. It's not big enough to put a Tesco Metro in.
Tesco Express, please.
Oh, no, yeah, Metro is the big one. Is it?
Oh, is it?
I don't know anymore.
I don't know.
There's too many...
I don't know what the rules are.
No, Direct is the big one.
There's too many brands of Tesco.
No, that's the online one.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, there are so many brands of Tesco. What have you done, Tesco? You fragmented your own market. Oh.
Well, I'm not going to a Tesco's Direct.
I'll go to look up...
I'm off to Express.
Look up Tesco's and see what the brand is. Right. You must have Should
we move on?
Tesco brands. No.
We are only on item two.
No, Tesco. Right. Right, fuck you, Tesco. I'm going to find out some shit about you.
This is important, damn it.
Okay.
More to the point, this is research on the podcast.
Tesco Extra is the big one. The Tesco Extra is the biggest one. And then there are normal Tesco superstores.
Right.
Which are... Oh, so the Extra like stock like clothes and shit as well. Whereas the superstores just mostly stock food. And then Metro are the next ones down. And then you have Express, which are the little ones. And then they also own One Stop, which are like corner shops. So, yeah.
Mental.
Ooh. Well, there you go.
See, my local Tesco, which is about 2 miles away, is one of the big, big, big ones. They sell phones and
That would be a Tesco Extra, then.
Tesco. They even have a corner of it, which is Tesco Direct, where you can go and flick through catalogues.
Yeah.
Oh, God. There's a Tesco in a Tesco.
Yeah, Tesco Direct inside the Tesco.
It's like Inception, but with Tesco.
They also have Tesco...
Tesco's is. I don't know what the plural of
Tesco Bank?
Yeah.
I think we should
Tesco
move on.
Tesco Garden Centres.
Lewis, are you all right?
Yeah, fine.
Well, I didn't mean... Was that you coughing?
Yeah.
That wasn't like a weird predictive... Are you all right?
He just asked that as he pressed the button to make it.
They have their own brand of garden centres.
Oh, Lewis, how are you feeling? Fine.
Yeah, they're garden centres. We've got one of those as well. Fairly close.
Yeah.
Dobby's.
Yeah. Tesco apparently own everything, it turns out.
Yeah.
I gave up cooking for this.
I'm giving you facts about Tesco. All right.
I was making a delicious fish pie.
Your local Tesco cast.
With no Tesco ingredients.
That's a terrible shame. You get good ingredients from Tesco.
Abel and Cole, organic.
You get good ingredients from Tesco at a reasonable price. Other supermarket chains
good
are
ingredients.
Available.
And recommended.
Well, recommended. I quite like Tesco, it's alright.
Evil.
Yeah, but all the...
Anywhere but Asda.
You were just talking about how you really like supporting the small
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, but all the... Yeah, like,
but Tesco's is really good, cheap and convenient, so...
Actually, it's not convenient for me at all. There's no Tesco anywhere near me, weirdly. There's Tesco quite near you.
There's plenty. I just avoid them.
There'll be a Tesco one-stop in your little shop.
They could put a one-stop in there. Yes. But we'd have to compete with the co-op that's directly opposite.
I really can't believe we're still talking about Tesco.
We probably should have done.
Quantic Dream are making a demo thing. Kara, I didn't watch
it. One.
Is it good?
It's quite good, yeah. It's much less safe for work than I imagined when I started watching it at work.
Yeah.
Because there are bits of, not actual nudity, admittedly, but sort of very strongly hinted at CGI nudity. But yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was a good little demo. Quite moving, you know. Has anyone else seen it?
Yes, I concur. I think it was really well made, and I like the concept of it, although it's a fairly standard concept, isn't it, with the AI going a bit
being,
too AI.
Being too, yeah.
But I think it suffered from what Quantic Dream stuff all suffers from, and that's been absolutely terribly scripted. I thought the dialogue was awful, and I think that stretches back through Heavy Rain and then Fahrenheit as well. I think the dialogue in those games was terrible. But as a tech demo, I think it was quite impressive.
And they said they were using only 50% of the PlayStation's capacity to...
Well, yeah, they said it was 50% of what the engine can do.
Which is pretty impressive, if that's...
Which is fairly impressive, although, I don't know, they also said that it was running on PlayStation 3s in real time, and I'm not sure that it would last much longer on a PlayStation 3.
They actually, that PlayStation 3 exploded shortly after recording...
And also, that's all well and good, but a 7-minute tech demo is different from a whole game. So,
don't read anything into it other than this is what Quantum Dream currently
did. Did they say how many PlayStation 3s it was running on?
Is that US server over 100 PlayStation?
It's like that the US Air Force have. They just linked them all
that's
up.
That's the one, yeah.
But they did that the same thing with Heavy Rain. There was those Heavy Rain renders that everybody said was amazing, and it's, oh, this is going to be the best looking game ever made, and then they released Heavy Rain, and it didn't, really.
Hmm. It was very good to look at, but there was something a bit off about the facial animations, I think.
Yeah, and that's not to take anything away from Heavy Rain. I mean, I thought that was a fantastic game, and it did look quite good, but it was nowhere near the target renders that they released.
Mm. I think it's the mouths, mainly.
Yeah, I think lip syncing is just the most difficult thing to get.
Yeah.
Which is where L.A. Noire came into their own.
I've still never even seen that being played. Mm. I've not even YouTubed it to see.
It's not a great game, but the facial animations in that were spot on, I think.
Yeah. It was great tech.
Indeed. Cool.
So there you go. That's what we think.
That's the Quantic Dream thing, all right.
Yeah, and that's not the next game they're working on.
No.
Apparently the next game is something that they haven't showed off yet. But it's going to be Sony exclusive, and it's not going to be anything to do with Kara.
Interesting. Next up, Peter Molyneux is moving on. I'd quickly like to have a very brief side note here that I always get Peter Molyneux vaguely confused with Molyneux Stadium where Wolves play. There you go.
That's weird, because one's a human and one's a stadium.
Yeah, I know. I just get a bit confused for some reason.
Have you ever been to Peter Molyneux Stadium?
It's weird. And
I bet he has one.
It's weird and makes promises they can't keep.
In his own mind.
Yeah, it's got a dog.
Apparently, so what do we think about that?
And it reacts to you more and more over the time that you spend with
anyway,
it.
Anyway, he's moved on from Microsoft and Lionhead and to make indie games where his craziness will be properly appreciated, I suspect.
Yeah,
it'd be really nice to see him sort of off the leash again, where he can actually talk about things.
Yeah.
Because he's been very much in the Microsoft camp.
Well, he was, like, head of European studios.
Yeah. He's been a Microsoft shill.
Yeah.
They just went, you run Europe now, here, take it. And he went, oh, all right then.
Yeah, you're from the edge of Europe.
Yeah, do things.
Have this job.
Yeah. Although, to be fair...
Because nobody in Microsoft gives a fuck about Europe.
To be fair, though, I think all the European studios are in England anyway, aren't they? I don't think they have any in the continent. Microsoft.
No, I don't think they do.
It's various all over England. So, yeah. Simples.
Yeah, although, didn't they dabble with some Scandinavian studios for a while? Starbreeze, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, they were, possibly. Yeah.
They were meant
the one in Germany.
We'll look up information about Tesco, but not about anything relevant.
No. Yeah. Fuck it. We'll just say what we think and hope that it turns out to be vaguely right.
Tesco, we have to be spot on there. Got to have the right information. So it'd be interesting to see what he comes up with. He's a very passionate speaker, so and him moving into indie... Hopefully he'll shine more attention onto it, even though it's getting... Indie is becoming kind of more in fashion now, which I approve of.
And it's... it's not necessarily... You know, he's not going to go and make, like, Jonathan Blow games. He's not going to go and make... Well, he might do, but he's not necessarily going to go and make the sort of little... What people think of as very independent games, you know. Technically, when Peter Molyneux made Black and White, he was indie. And Populous, that was sort of quite independent as well. So he could still make those sort of games.
Exactly.
Just not under Microsoft's wing.
Yeah, people seem to forget that indie just means that you don't have a publishing deal in place, really.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean weird-ass nonsense like what that game company makes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't mean you have to make Fez. Talking of weird-ass games...
Fez, which is shit, because American game design is all shit.
Yes.
Fact.
We were going to be, I was going to segue nicely onto Jay there, but I've had a special tweet in for you, Peter.
For me?
I've been told by Alex to ask you about Play.com.
Oh. yeah. I assume that he means the thing that, those Vita games that everybody reported yesterday
yes,
as being.
I did see
actually
that.
Actually factually confirmed.
Yes.
When they were very clearly a load of old bollocks.
It was like, oh, this is quite clearly photoshopped because elements of the page are missing.
Yeah. Well, one of them actually appears on Play.com. I think the Monster Hunter one is on Play.com. Yeah. So that's possible, although that's something that has been rumoured very heavily anyway.
You can certainly mark that as rumoured. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah. But the other things that they suggested were there was a Final Fantasy game and a Grand Theft Auto game, Liberty City Nights, and something else, Tales of Innocence, I think.
It was, Grand Theft Auto Vice City Nights, Tales of Innocence - R, and Final Fantasy Type Zero HD, I think, were the ones.
Yeah, so this obviously photoshopped image appeared on Play.com, and I mean, Alex reported it for us as basically like this has been. Somebody has put this up on Gaff, but it's probably rubbish.
Yeah.
Everybody else that I've seen reported it like this is about to be announced.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking crazy. I mean, all you have to do was search for Play, and they're not listing up. They're not appearing in the listings
like,
on Play.
Big Play, like Euro Gamer, Kotaku, and Joystick were all listing it as basically confirmed.
Yeah. And IGN. Yeah. Everybody just went, oh, yeah, there's a dodgy Photoshop thing that's appeared on Gaff, so let's run it like it's
and
the
possibly
truth.
The worst thing about it was when Eurogamer were talking about how they'd heard it from sources, and like, no, it was just on Gaff. Or it wasn't even on Gaff, it started on 4chan, but still.
Yeah, and then there was somebody, I think it was it Jason Schreier at Kotaku? He got called out on it, and told the commenters to shut up and prove that they were
also
wrong.
I have to question believing anything that comes out of 4chan, ultimately.
Yeah, it's not exactly the sort of the place to go for credible.
You don't often. Well, you don't often hear 4chan quoted on BBC News or CNN. Weirdly,
according to popular website 4chan, the.
Yeah, I think it's fine to report on that sort of stuff as long as you mention in the report that it's probably a load of rubbish. Yeah. Like, it's an interesting thing to talk about. It's an interesting thing to kick us off a bit of a discussion.
Here is a thing. Like, you can just do it as would you like these games if they exist? They probably don't, but maybe.
Yeah, like, somebody wants these, and we think that it might be quite cool. Do you want them? And then, because that's what starts discussion, and that can be quite interesting in comment threads. Well, I say that. It can be interesting in comment threads on TSA. It would be a fucking nightmare on Kotaku. But that's because we have nice comment threads, and they... don't.
That's because Kotaku isn't actually about games, but...
No, apparently it's about 4chan Photoshop mock-ups.
Yeah. The fact that
anyway.
That Kotaku had to launch a sub-brand to actually be about games...
Oh, that's just fucking ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, that's Kotaku Core, which, to be fair, given their situation, I thought was quite a good idea, but it's still mental.
And not only that, but they released that schedule so that there's going to be certain things appearing at certain times.
Oh, yeah.
But they've named their segments, so now they have, like, Kotaku East in the morning, and it's all about Japanese content. So if you're interested in Japanese content, then check Kotaku at this time. Well, no, it's a fucking website. I'll check it when I have time to check
my
website.
At my leisure.
That's sort of how websites work.
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
not
that's
like
similar to what we do. We have like a schedule, and we have original content that goes at certain times, and usually on certain days.
Yes, and then I get really aggravated when it doesn't.
It just goes at those times. That's just it fits into our schedule, and we know what's happening.
Yeah,
it's not because if you want to read the WeView roundup, you have to do it on a Monday lunchtime.
Yeah.
It's just that happens to be when we have it slotted into the schedule.
And we just
anything else on the internet is just weird.
Yeah.
Trying to schedule stuff like that on the internet is bizarre.
Yeah.
But...
and also, it's weirder because we, have an article and, like, oh, well, this regular article goes here because it's regular. Whereas they're kind of saying, no, here is this block of content. You're like, that's... you're not...
Yeah, it's like a theme.
They seem to have confused themselves with broadcast media.
Yeah.
I think that might be the problem. Someone's gone, you realise you're not actually a TV station, right? People can just
Yeah,
come
no, you
back.
Get half-hour slots for your website. And people watch what's on the website for that half an hour.
And the funny thing is that they pitched it like it's because they want you to have like these water cooler moments. So what they want is for people to go into work on like a, say like a Tuesday, and be like, oh, did you see that thing on Kotaku East yesterday at 6 PM? And like, who is going to do that? People don't do that with TV anymore.
No,
it's true.
People say, oh, did you see that thing on TV? And to a man, everybody goes, no, I've Sky Plus'd it. I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah.
People don't consume media now on anybody else's schedule but their own, really.
I'll point out...
and though I think, as an interesting aside, it's quite good for Sky that Sky Plusing something has become the new word for sort of recording it with whatever device.
Yeah. Well, the Americans say, would say TiVo, wouldn't they? Yes. The Americans would, I think, use TiVo in that way.
Yeah, would they?
I think so. They don't have Sky over there.
Do they not?
No.
They have...
Poor, deprived Americans.
They have satellite television. I believe it's called DirecTV.
Yeah, my brother, who lives in America, has satellite internet.
Yeah, that's because he lives in the middle of fucking nowhere, though.
Yeah, he lives in the middle of the fucking plains of Oklahoma. And he can't get internet any other way.
Satellite internet.
So he has satellite internet, which is apparently much more expensive and not as fast.
Oh,
but at least it gets him connected to the internet so that he gets something other than right-wing talk radio.
Yeah, I mean, one of my friends was actually going to get it as well because he lived in a tiny little village and we all had 8 meg connections while he was still on dial-up. So his...
A guy in my course at uni still used dial-up. Didn't really see a point in upgrading. At uni, and that was like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Dial-up.
She's like, yeah, whatever, dial-up.
Yeah.
I also ask why, Lewis.
Yay, fish pie.
I don't know how... Journey, there we are. Talk about Journey.
Wow, that looks really hot. Oh, fish pie arrived just as I was going to talk about Journey. That's all.
Lewis.
Yeah?
Start talking about Journey.
Oh, right.
I'm not even going to segue.
Give me a minute.
It's just...
I'll be back in a moment.
We did have a segue. I said something about that game company about 10 minutes
ago.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know. We ended up talking about Play.
Oh yeah, it's Al's fault.
We're like 36 minutes into this podcast and we haven't actually got to anything. Anyway, yeah, Journey's a thing. Go, I'm going to sit here and...
I'm going to
sit here and do other stuff while you lot talk about Journey for like the next 20 minutes, so...
Have you not played
it? No, so I've got other shit on. So you lot talk about Journey and I'll just...
What do you mean? You can't just... opt out.
I think you'll find Lewis does for like half the podcast.
Sure, but that's Lewis. We come to expect it from him.
You don't need me for the other half.
I can't really
podcast.
Add anything about the Journey.
Lewis doesn't know anything about news.
Exactly.
Lewis, that's because...
I'm pretty sure you were talking in Spanish.
That's because Lewis has a job that actually requires like his attention.
He's not teaching now.
Yeah.
No, that's why he doesn't know about news, because he has to like pay attention to stuff all day.
I do still watch the news every day.
Yeah, but Boyo Stewart doesn't come on and tell you the latest gaming news.
She should.
Neither do you, as we found out from when Journey was announced.
Can you do Moira Stewart talking about Peter Molyneux leaving Microsoft?
1 second, I'm just trying to set the TV up for Kate so she can watch it with the headphones. I know that's really dumb.
I'd set our TV up so that we can still watch TV because they're turning it off.
I fucking love Journey!
Journey!
Yeah, so I'm going to edit this article while you talk about Journey. Because I'm that professional.
I think it'd be nice to get the opinions of someone who hasn't played it and what they think, from the outside. We're about to talk at length about Journey, which includes a fair amount of discussion about the things that happen towards the end of the game. So if you don't want to hear any spoilers, I'd skip ahead to where Chris starts talking about I Am Alive, 52 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah, alright, so Journey is a thing. It's a game, there's sand. That's what I know about it.
And snow.
Jesus, there's snow.
And emotion. Watery type thing. It's not actually water, but it's similar to.
Yeah, it gives a very water-like feel.
It's very, very difficult to talk about Journey without spoilers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you really spoil Journey? Is it that kind of game?
Well, you couldn't spoil the story, but you could spoil the experience by...
Yeah, it's nice to sort of come upon these things yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I played Journey having not really seen... Other than the EGX demo, I hadn't read anything about it. I deliberately avoided the review and... I hadn't seen any videos or anything, so all I was expecting was sand, basically. And let's just say it goes further than sand.
Yeah.
It does.
It is kind of amazing that without any sort of dialogue or any overt story, that they can get across so much emotion and so much...
It is. I mean...
There's so much in there. There's so much going on. But it's not actually ever explicitly said.
It had a profound effect on me.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant.
After that last sequence, I was just sat on my sofa, just watching the start screen again, just for a bit. Just reflecting.
I haven't got that tweet yet. I tweeted that earlier. It reminds me of, did you ever watch that Planet Earth episode where the baby elephant gets lost in a dust storm and goes the opposite direction to its mum and then dies?
Yes.
That's quite possibly one of the saddest moments on TV. When I lost my journey follower, I was like that.
Aww. I know what you mean.
My journey partner. I was like, where have you gone? Oh, he's gone the wrong way. No. I was like, oh, I went searching for him and everything, and then he wasn't there, and then I realised that he's probably, you know.
Probably just switched off.
Yeah. Unwittingly got a silver trophy at the end of my playthrough for playing most of the entire journey with the same companion, and I thought that was really nice. We've been yeah. through it together.
The amazing thing with that is, because there's no voice chat or there's no, like, you don't know who it is, so you mm-hmm. can't message people and things like that. It's just amazing to see how quickly you learn to communicate and...
Yeah,
like how much the circle. Other person can tell you without actually telling you anything.
You press circle and they press it back and, you talk that way sort of thing and then...
Yeah, you kind of make up this rudimentary little language, like three circles quickly means that there's something you should come and have a look at over here or something like that. It's amazing. It's just...
And it got to the snowy bit and you know when all those kite things start freezing?
Well, we are just going to go straight there with the what happens.
Just straight into the...
It's hardly spoiled it, has it?
Anyway, yeah.
One of them froze, so I, pressed circle and it came back to life again, and then it followed me and my partner, and then, it went back into another little hole and froze again.
Yeah.
So we were both there for about 5 minutes, pressing circle, trying to revive it, and we were
the same thing.
It's not coming back.
Well, I was trying to revive the thing, but my companion just walked off, and I was like, hey, wait, look, this guy needs our help. Come on. And as best I could without any language.
It is amazing. Absolutely brilliant. And it's so just fluid and...
To be fair, it is only 2 hours long, so people will probably have played through it by the time they listen to this, if they're that keen on it. So.
Well, I'll put a little spoiler warning before it when I edit.
Yeah.
Just saying to jump over to the next time.
You best do. I will.
But yeah, it was really... And then when I finished the game, Alex asked me what I thought of a certain section of it, what I thought that represented, and I sent him an email saying... basically what I thought it was. And he came back to me and was like, no, I didn't see that at all. So he got something completely different from exactly the same sort of 5 minutes of gameplay.
Mm.
So I think there's layers there.
Yeah,
so.
It's very open to interpretation. This sort of cutscene bits are quite abstract, really.
Oh, yeah.
Depends on what you're looking at.
Yeah.
But the other thing that amazes me, they don't use text and dialogue, like you say, but the pictures that, after every section, it gives you that little... cutscene, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of pictures that it uses are very quite crude or artistically crude, if you mm-hmm. like.
They're almost Aztec engravings or something.
Yeah, but and when you first look at them, you think I have no idea what that means, and then as they go on, you just blatantly know what's going on.
Yeah, you see the two figures this story,
struggling against the winds and things like that. It's brilliant.
Really well done, that game company.
Yeah, yes. Did anybody else think that it was kind of like Flower?
Yeah, I did.
In the broader themes of it, and the way it sort of builds and the nature,
and the gradual introduction of it. Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, completely.
Yeah, I kind of got a Flower vibe off it.
Because somebody, I can't remember, I think it was somebody on TSA, was just commenting saying, I didn't find it similar to Flower at all. But I think I still like it or something. I can't remember. But they didn't see any parallels at all. But yeah, I think I do. I think... Like you said, that kind of gradual introduction to the fact that actually not everything's okay.
Yeah. And also when you go back and start playing it again, some of the things that you didn't really notice in the early stages of the game.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet. I'm yet to have my second playthrough.
You will notice... Well, I don't know. I noticed things that were... I didn't know what they were when I played it through the first time. And then when you go through the second time, it's like, oh, Jesus, this is actually that.
Did you guys play with a companion, all the time?
No, I had, I think when I finished, because when you finish the game, it tells you who you met during the game.
Yeah.
I think I had, five or six different people.
Yeah.
But you can tell
who they are by the symbol that appears when you make the noise.
Yeah.
That's a unique symbol to that person.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So you can tell if it's the same person you were
playing. So if you've played, a section through with one person that has this glyph, if you remember what that glyph looks like, then at the end of the game, it will tell you who that was.
Yeah.
The because I downloaded it yesterday before it went out, and I only managed to play about a half hour, and I've only managed to play about an hour this afternoon, or this evening rather. So I think all in all, I've had about three companions over that. Obviously, one yesterday, one today, and then I, like I said, I lost one today, so I got a new one.
See, I think that, I think my entire playthrough took me about an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think same, something like that. But I didn't mind that at all. Like,
well, no.
The effect that it had on me, I just haven't really ever had that in a game, other than maybe at the end of Flower.
It's kind of, like, it's, basically it's 2 hours long, which is how long you'd spend sitting in front of a movie.
Hmm.
And, I don't know, I got as much emotional connection with this game as I would from a movie that I've watched. I can't think of any films that I've seen recently that affected me the same way, or on a similar scale. So I think that, I don't know, I think that anybody that complains about it being too short, I think it's kind of a moot point. It's not really about the length of it, it's about the impact that it has on you.
Yeah, I agree.
The other thing I found... I was just saying, the other thing I found amazing was in the snowy level, when you and your companion, I don't know if anyone else was the same, but you really stuck together when all the strong winds, because it just seemed harsh environment.
Yeah.
And you just really stay close, and then when you obviously get to a certain distance, you like join energy, if you like, don't they? And like we stuck real close together. Like
I kind of viewed that as huddling together to keep warm.
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. I just thought it's amazing.
And when you have companions, when you get close to them, it recharges your jump as well.
Yeah.
So you
and that's, yeah, so
kind
when
of
you
live
get,
off each
glows,
other.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really superb. Just, yeah, very, very impressed with it. And
the music's brilliant as well.
Yeah,
I was kind of expecting to like it. I really liked Flower. So I was kind of expecting it to be a bit special, but I wasn't really ready for what it was, I don't think.
Same here.
I think it surpassed what I was expecting. So yeah, very cool. And like you say, Lewis, the music is amazing. But there was
that's
Dev
Austin
Diary
Wintry, who also did the Flow soundtrack, but didn't do Flower. He's one of my favourite game composers, in fact, composers generally. But he's got he's on Twitter quite a lot.
Yeah, I actually only just found him on Twitter today.
He's a good
started
guy.
Following him. But there was a Dev Diary posted today that the art director was saying that him and Austin Wintry sort of fed off each other for the way the game sort of built up around the sound and the art. So it wasn't a case of him drawing like the sandscapes and the figures in the cloaks and then the sound designer creating music to go with that. These two things sort of came along together, which is quite interesting. It was sort of passed backwards and forwards and was quite iterative.
I think that's the other thing that I've found is, although it's only in the short space that I've played it, the amount of times I've sat there and gone, I'm going to make a picture of that or draw a picture of that or do whatever. The amount of art that I've wanted to make off the back of it is phenomenal.
Yeah, Kate was playing Uncharted on the Vita with her headphones on while I was playing. And I just kept going, Kate, look at this. Just look. She's like, what? Just look at it.
Look at
it. It's beautiful, isn't it? And she's like, yeah, it's fine. It's like, carried on playing.
It is amazing, though. There was one point in particular that I actually stopped for about 5 minutes and just looked at when it was all red and gold.
There was a really nice bit when I was, because I was going through the whole thing with, like, the same guy, and we kind of really built up a little kind of relationship between the two different characters, whereas, like, I'd usually be leading, but then sometimes like, he'd go off and do something and do, like, the three circles in order to alert me to something that's over there, and so, like, he'd quite often find some extra little scarf pieces. But one point in the snowy bit, like, when you're getting blown about all over the place, we got lost, we got separated, and I fell down this thing and had to climb all the way back up, and I thought, like, oh, it's really sad because I'd lost him. And he was just there, like, sat, just waiting at the entrance to the next thing, just waiting for me. And I was like, oh, it's really nice. But I think whoever was playing it had gone off to, like, while they were waiting, had gone off somewhere to, like, do whatever. And so they were just sat down. So I thought, well, I'll just wait for them to come back now, as they waited for me. So I think if you press select, your character sits down. I don't know if that was just a coincidence.
I think if you just stop and don't touch anything, they sit down automatically.
Yeah, because I stood there waiting for a bit and nothing happened, and so I was like, press select, and it sat down, but I don't know if it was just the same time that it expired or whatever. But anyway, so we both just sat there, and then a little trophy just popped up, went, reflection, you and a companion sit for a bit, or something like that, and that's completely unintentional. But
see, I didn't get any trophies at all.
Oh, really?
Until the very end of the game. When I was getting towards the end of the game, I thought that maybe they'd done that thing where they didn't have trophies until the end.
Hmm.
And then it turns out that I just hadn't qualified for any trophies.
That's it. I think that's fine, though. Like, I think if you were to play your first time round looking for trophies, and like, you completely miss the point.
Yeah, well, I don't really care about trophies no matter what I'm playing, so I don't pay them much attention. Actually, what I thought was this would be spoiled with trophy things popping up in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, I even thought the little saving dialogue in between scenes was a bit like,
I was quite enjoying the fact that it was so sparse and there was nothing, there was like no HUD options, and there was even the option screen on that when you pause the game.
Yeah.
There's not really anything to it.
It's just kind of like a little slideshow of various areas, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, I can't recommend Journey enough. It's the sort of thing, like, my wife doesn't play games at all, but it's the sort of thing I'd really like to get her to play, but I don't think she will. She might watch me play it.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get Kate to play.
It sounds so stupid for a computer game to do it, but it feels so life-affirming. It just feels so nice. And
yeah, I mean, that bit where that guy was waiting for me.
Yeah, people just being nice to you.
Yeah, you would not get that in any
Call of Duty, can you imagine?
Exactly. No man left behind.
Yeah, fuck off, fag.
Like, lol, you noob.
Yeah.
But, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of shooting aliens in it.
Welcome back.
Not really on board.
There's not
so much.
No,
there are. No, I better not say it. I'll get told off by Kev.
Well, I'm going to put a spoiler alert at the beginning of that whole section, so people can skip past it if they want to.
There are giant hammerhead ribbon things.
Do you shoot them?
No,
you kind of ride them.
Ride them and tell them you love them before leaving, parting ways.
To freeze in the snow.
Sounds very little like shooting.
You're such a heathen.
This fish pie is amazing.
I probably will play Journey at some point. It seems alright.
There's no aliens to shoot. There's no cars to steal. I don't collect health packs.
That doesn't sound like a video game at all.
What is this shit?
Yeah.
No golden coins.
It's life affirming. It's just really nice.
If you'd like a game that's the complete...
And I don't use that adjective nicely. I mean, nicely? That's not what I mean.
If you'd like it lightly, if you'd like a game, that's the complete opposite of life-affirming, I advise you play I Am Alive. The reasons for this being twofold. Firstly, I didn't think it was a very good game. And secondly, it's very bleak and depressing. And all about people trying to murder you horribly. So it's kind of set in this post-apocalyptic land. This fake city called Havelton, something like that. I can't quite remember off the top of my head. It's something like that. Havelton or Havelton, something like that, I think. Even though early trailers we saw for this game when it's for retail was set in Chicago... and although it's meant to be a whole city, you have access to maybe like 5 blocks of it, realistically. There's not a lot of it in the game.
Really? It's that small?
It's very small. To be fair, there are sections that are bigger. You go through the subway system and that's quite big. And it's worth pointing out that because like there's been this big... because there's been the big earthquake and stuff, although... it's quite small. It can take you a long time to get everywhere places because you like have to reroute and find the path that you can take and that kind of thing. And because all these buildings have been knocked down, there's concrete dust everywhere, so you kind of can't see a lot of the time, which works better than you'd think. And also, the one section I did really rate was the nighttime section, with a combination of night, the small torch you've got on your chest. And the dust all combined to make...
Are you
this
Iron Man?
That'd be awesome. Yeah. To make this incredibly, like, really tense atmosphere. It's kind of just like a clip.
Yeah, because Iron Man does just have a torch.
It's
on
kind
his
of
chest.
Just like a clip-on torch, Kev, rather than built-in.
Like Nathan Drake.
Like Nathan Drake, actually. Yeah, this guy. In some ways, you could say that I Am Alive is like a very watered-down version of Uncharted.
Without any jungle.
Except it's set in a city, the characters aren't likable, the voice acting's poor, and...
the control system isn't great.
Yeah. Basically. It's basically like what would happen if someone had told you about Uncharted, but you'd never actually played it. Or someone had told you about watching someone else playing Uncharted. The game does have redeeming features in some ways. Although the controls are poor in places, the climbing mechanic can be quite nice, particularly because it's got this stamina meter, which means that you have to, like... and because there's quite often multiple paths when you're climbing, or multiple dead ends when you're climbing, and you've got this stamina meter, it kind of makes it more of a challenge. So you have to pre-plan your route to some extent, which actually works quite well. But in general, it's not a brilliant game. The audio mixing is poor at best. I would point out that I've talked to other people who reviewed this game, and they said they didn't have some of the issues I had, because the scores for this game range from, I gave it a 4, and I've seen other places that have given it a 10. So there's a wide range of opinions on this game.
I played the preview code for it, and very much enjoyed the sort of themes at play.
Yes,
and the way
themes, it's thematically, it's quite interesting.
The way that it kind of sort of set things up, like almost like little combat puzzles and climbing puzzles. I thought that was quite interesting. But it was quite interesting for an hour and a half. But if that was the entirety of the game, then there is absolutely no way you could give that.
That's pretty much the entirety of the game.
I think that's bizarre. But even the, I mean, the stuff that I played, there were, and again, it was preview code, so it might have been sort of early stuff. But there were technical issues with it, and control issues, and camera issues.
Yep, I had
that
all
would
those.
All detract
I
from.
Had control issues. I had camera issues. I had audio issues. I had the game hard lock on me at one point. That was retail code that I was playing. So.
Very weird.
And the fact that Eurogamer gave it an 8 and also gave Uncharted 3 an 8 is inexcusable.
Although there is a price difference there, and the two games are trying to do different things. They're not directly comparable.
They're certainly not directly comparable.
I agree
but
completely.
The point of having a scale is that to some extent.
But even trying
extent,
to do what they're trying to do, like the standard it succeeded to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah, I mean, as I've talked about in the past, was not a great fan of Uncharted 3, but Uncharted 3 is unquestionably a better game than this. There's no doubt in my mind. Uncharted 3 is a better game and does what it tries to do better. Whereas, I think perhaps what I Am Alive is trying to do is more interesting than Uncharted 3, because what Uncharted 3 is trying to do is what Uncharted and Uncharted 2 tried to do. And I Am Alive is quite interesting in that respect and is doing things that a lot of modern games aren't doing. Some aspects of it and the themes are things that aren't really addressed in that. The survival aspect of it, although I never really felt like I was just trying to survive, but the human nature aspect of it and the survival aspect that you get in from NPCs, that kind of feeling of these guys you're killing are quite often just trying to defend their territory. And like, hey, I'm just to defend my home. And like, that's nice. I kicked you off this ledge. It kind of, you get that thing from them, but I never got that thing from the main character at all. You never get the feeling.
Yeah, was that your write-up?
I wrote it up on the other day, yeah.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah, I was like, this sounds familiar, but it was your words.
It's got hints at being brilliant. It's that which makes it more frustrating. There's hints of like, oh, this could be wonderful, and then it just kind of falls flat on its face in places. It's just and the ending is I we're not going to spoil it, but the ending leaves at least one plot thread, just like an absolutely gigantic plot thread that they introduce 2 minutes before the end, and they're just like, oh, by the way, this, see ya. It's like, this, yeah, yeah, they do that, and you're like, I'm not sure you can do that. You can't just be like, yeah, this thing happened. Well, I guess the game's over now.
Good luck figuring that one out.
And the fact that they don't really at any point, they always refer to the event, which is what it seems to have been, a huge series of earthquakes which caused this, but they never talk about it at all. They're just like, the guy's kind of just like, yeah, it took me 4 hours to fly out. I think he flew to the east coast of America. I was like, it took me 4 hours to fly out east. It took me a year to walk back. Because he's got that kind of slightly gruff voice.
Was that what that was?
It's a very poor impression. And that's kind of pretty much it. And everyone's like, after the event, things were terrible. Like, well, I can see things were terrible. Like, that skyscraper's collapsed. There was a hint that things are probably not going too well at that point. When I'm climbing the ruined exterior of a skyscraper and then sliding down the other side of it because another skyscraper's caved into it, yeah, I kind of got that things were probably quite bad in the wake of the event. I didn't really feel you needed to tell me that. Also, there are points where the geometry doesn't make any sense at all. Unless one of the buildings is built like a pyramid. I just realised, it's like, I climbed out that side and slid down the other side, but I wasn't sliding down another building, it was the same building. So unless they built that building as a pyramid, it doesn't make very much sense. But yeah.
You're thinking way too much about this.
It's not... what they try to do is very interesting, I'll give it that. It's just what they do isn't.
Yeah, that's the... I think that's... For me, when I read your review after playing that preview, I think that was the saddest thing for me, was that there was so much potential there,
brilliant.
And they were genuinely trying something different and something
quite new. You
feel it
could be absolutely amazing, and it's not.
And it just sounds like they've just kind of missed on almost every aspect. And sometimes not by much, but just never quite hitting
it right.
I think
if that game was an hour and a half, like you said the preview was, it'd be quite good. But the stuff like the combat puzzles that you talk about, that's a really cool idea, except that there's only one solution to them.
Yeah.
And then after a while you're just like, oh, well, this is a bit tedious now. Right. And there was only one of the puzzles that I really felt was in any way super challenging and really required you to think about what you were doing. All the others were just like, oh, okay, in which order am I going to take these guys out so that I don't die? Whereas there was one that did actually require me to think, because I kept approaching it the same way I'd approached all the others, and spent 20 minutes just dying constantly. So I went, oh, well, maybe if I do this. Oh, okay, I do that. Oh, I win. But all the other puzzles are very dull and repetitive.
Shame.
And kind of... If you really feel like it, you can kind of fluke your way through them in a way. Just by running around very quickly and stabbing dudes, well, it's reasonably effective. If you go into a blind panic, you could possibly skip around the combat puzzle stuff they've tried to build, which is quite funny.
Well, that's kind of how I played, like, Deus Ex.
Yeah, just like, oh god, oh, I survived. Yeah, I found one tactic is to... Because if you shoot someone with an arrow, you can get the arrow back. So I found one tactic was to shoot a guy with an arrow, lead everyone else towards you, run around them, grab the arrow back, and then shoot someone else with the arrow. which is just total fun. And I imagine the game design is just sobbing as, like, seeing people doing that. They've just built these very clever systems to try and like, force down this path and, like, ah, but if I do this, I'll run away. Ha!
I don't know. I kind of think, and I might be a little bit out of order here, because it was Ubisoft Shanghai that completed this, wasn't it? I kind of get the impression that maybe they sort of they got so far along with the game and then they thought, well, look, we just have to kind of get this done and get it out. So they shipped it off to some sweatshop in Shanghai.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's just, well, the impression that I get from reading about it now is that it's just kind of been just quickly put a lid on it and get it out the door.
Yeah, I kind of suspect that's where they were like, all right, well, we've got mechanics here. Just repeat them and the game will be fine.
Hmm. Shame.
Weirdly, I'd love to play... Though it never happened, I'd love to play, like, debug builds of that game. Like, stuff from 2 years ago. Just to see how different it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice that they are at least trying different things. And, you know, maybe the fact that this is out and some people have enjoyed it will lead to different things and new things coming that are in a similar vein. Mm. That would be interesting to see, at least.
Yeah. I can understand why people would want to rate this game. I can't necessarily understand why people are rating it well. If that makes sense. Because I feel, as the press, we sometimes crucify people for not trying anything new, and this time they are trying something quite distinctly new. It's just not done particularly well, when that's my read on it. And and I'm quite happy, because I was sitting playing it and Davs came and watched some of it, and then when some of the reviews were coming out, I was sort of talking with him about how on earth it was getting the scores it was from certain outlets, which made me feel like I wasn't a crazy person, which was good.
There is always that worrying period when you've reviewed something and it's like you've taken a different view of it and you kind of doubt yourself for a moment.
Yes, I'm sane, right? It's not just me. Did they give me different code to everyone else?
I was actually playing the same game.
It wasn't just me, right? And there were other outlets who came to similar conclusions that I did.
Yeah, I've read other reviews at different places that have pointed out the same things that you pointed out. And have been generally negative, and then at the end of it said, oh, we'll give it 7 out of 10.
I'm not sure,
Kind of like, well, you know, you can't be that negative about it in the text and then say that it's actually quite a good game.
To those sites, I'm not sure you understand how scores work.
Yeah, but that's just, it's the nature of the business. It's nice that they're trying something different. It's nice that some people are enjoying it. And, I don't know, if you think that you'll enjoy it, then it's worth a go, I suppose. What is it, 1,200 Microsoft points?
Yes, I believe so.
Roughly £10, so it's the same price as Journey.
Yeah, exactly, and it's coming to PSN at some point in the future as well.
Yeah,
and there's a possibility it might be better on PSN if they do the hydrophobia thing, which I doubt they will, but they might do.
Yeah, I doubt they will, since Dark Energy Digital are actually going out of business at the minute.
Yes. Oh no, I don't mean do what, but I mean do what hydrophobia did, like release it on another platform, but change it significantly in response to everyone going, this game wasn't great, was it?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I think Dark Energy Digital did that with Hydrophobia rather than focus on something else they could sell.
Yeah, but I think the difference is that if Ubisoft wanted to support it, they quite clearly could. I don't think
that's true, too. No, I think that basically they wanted to get this game finished and out the door, and something in this release window that could be downloadable.
Yes, exactly.
And a bit of exposure on the dashboard and all that sort of stuff. Which, I suppose, it serves a purpose. It's just a shame because the concept was so strong.
The concept's amazing. I just don't feel like they really executed on it.
Oh, well.
Lewis, are you back yet? Yeah. Lewis, you watched Paranormal Activity 3. Any good?
I did. It was alright. I liked it.
Eating something.
But, yeah, biscuit.
All right.
That is unprofessional.
I liked it, but it wasn't, it's nowhere near as good as the first two. I was surprised myself in how much of a fan I am of the first two. It's directed by the two that directed Catfish. So I was kind of hoping that they'd bring a bit of that sort of unknown tension to it, if you know what I mean. But ultimately, I just felt the story was a bit weak because it was a prequel of a prequel. And they'd gone back to the beginning of it all, which was 1988. And the one thing that really got my wick was that they have still got glorious HD cameras in 1988. And it just looks... It doesn't look real. It doesn't look authentic. The other two...
That's a shame, because they had a kind of opportunity to make it really feel like it was 1988 by, like, going back to technology from that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they...
They kind of did that a little bit with the other films, didn't they? With the, sort of the handheld cameras and the CCTV stuff.
Yeah, and that... And for the bits where they're personally filming it, it worked fine for those because the time period that equipment was available or is available. But yeah, this one they're still using, like I say, glorious HD cameras, and they haven't even tried to put a filter on it to make it look old. They've just got people wearing 80s clothes.
That seems fairly lazy as an approach.
Listening to Stock Aitken and Walking.
it looks quite odd. I think, I mean, personally, as a fan of the other two, I would have preferred it to have been authentic. I would have loved the scratches and stuff, because it's not a film that needs to be in HD. And I think that old technology actually would have helped it be a lot more scary, because you don't know what's a glitch, what's a ghost, that sort of thing. It was good though. It's still effective. It still had the whole format of when it goes to nighttime. Obviously, that's when you start becoming a bit tense and expecting everything to happen. And it does have a couple of quite good sort of scare set pieces. One in particular where the mum of the family is like in the kitchen and everything's there as you'd expect in the kitchen. The door knocks and she goes back to the door. By the time she's gone back to the kitchen, everything in the kitchen has disappeared. So the table, all of the stuff on the sides, in the cupboards, it's just all gone. And she was, like, freaking out. And then it all just, like, falls from the ceiling. So that sort of thing is still quite effective. And there's another bit where the babysitter gets stalked by a figure in a bedsheet, which sounds really cheesy. but there's a reason for it. And that's quite freaky. But... Other than that, the rest of it, they've tried to go a bit too fancy and a bit too big budget for the film, because that's not what it's about. So they've got things where, you know, one of the girls, when they're younger, gets picked up by a hare by the demon, and it looks a bit crap, to be honest. So yeah, it's not as effective. It is still a decent horror film, but it's not nowhere near as good as the first two in terms of atmosphere and believability and reality, because the first two have also got actors that seem very natural and make, like Blair Witch, they make you believe it is just a home video. Whereas the third one doesn't have that. They're a bit more stage school-y, especially the younger versions of the two of the sisters. They're very precocious little brats. You could just tell that their mums have pushed them into stage school. But yeah, no, it is a good horror film, but not as good as the first two.
Cool.
That's a bit of a shame.
They're making a fourth one, aren't they?
Yeah, and I'm worried about that because, like I say, I was worried. I watched the first one, like I say, thinking it was going to be a cheesy horror film and absolutely loved it. I just think it is one of the best American horror films in a long, long time. And then when they announced the second one, I thought, oh, how are they going to carry on the story for obvious reasons if you've seen the first one? And they pulled it out the bag. They managed to come up with a brilliant story, tied in very, very well. So then when they announced three, I thought, well, maybe they have got, you know, another ace up their sleeve story-wise, but that sort of failed, and now it's making me think the fourth one's just going to be completely shit.
That's a real shame, because I was kind of interested in this when I heard that it was the guys from Catfish that got to make it. That they could have done that sort of nervy film quite well.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's still debate over whether Catfish is a true documentary or if it's scripted or what have you, but that whole element of completely changing the tone of the film and unexpected intensity...
Yeah, well, this is it.
...worked superbly.
With Catfish, it doesn't necessarily matter if it was scripted or if it's a true documentary, because the way the big twist in Catfish is because of the editing. Mm. Really, it's the way that the film's put together rather than...
Yeah, exactly, and the pace. And yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a shame.
Like I said, it does have a few good moments, and it is still a good horror film. But if you've seen the first two, and you know you enjoy them as much as I do, it's a bit of a letdown. And like I say, some of the CGI and effects they've used is just too much for that franchise. That's not what it's about. It's about handheld cameras and very subtle, very sly bumps and bangs and scares and stuff, which were phenomenal in the first two. They proper were scary.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the Rotten Tomatoes score for all three, the first one gets 82%, second one gets 59%, and the third one gets 67%.
Mm. I don't get that. The second one was brilliant.
Apparently, Rotten Tomatoes thinks it's the worst of the three. With just 59%.
No, definitely not.
Wrong.
On the tomato meter. Or the
every other critic tomatometer. Is wrong.
Yeah, they're all wrong.
Right.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I wouldn't agree with that.
Fair enough. I haven't seen any of them. I don't really enjoy the emotion fear, so don't bother going to see scary
yeah,
films.
Yeah, me neither, really.
So. Oh, see, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, more
I used to quite like scary films, but haven't been able to watch them since I got a wife that's scared of everything.
See, Lewis, I'm the other way around from you, though, because you hate scary games, don't you?
I can't play them.
See, I'm happy to play. In fact, I really enjoy playing scary games. Dead Space.
Yeah, as I've said in the past, Bioshock made me drop my controller, and that's not even one of the scariest ones.
It's a bit tense, Bioshock.
Mm. But, don't make excuses for him.
No, he's a little bit. I can understand if you're a bit shaky.
He jumped out at me. I wasn't expecting it.
I've only ever played a demo of Bioshock.
Yeah. Just a little bit. I played a bit of it. Thought it was rubbish.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan, I have to say. I didn't play two. But I liked the first one, but I did find it scary, and I just went, nope. Dead Space, I played the first level and went,
oh, it's so good. We recently, it was my mate Ed's birthday, and we all got him Dead Space.
Pre-owned.
Sorry to interrupt, guys. I'm just doing my piece. We got my mate Ed Dead Space, and he's notoriously just frightened of everything. But quite enjoys it. Like, he's seen all the Paranormal Activities and, what's that other one? The more recent film that was really scary? Don't know. Women in Black. Yeah, they all went to see that and terrified them, but they loved it. Anyway, we got him in the Dead Space and we made him play the first bit. Like, we all came around my house. They all came in my house. And we made Ed play the first chapter of Dead Space with all the lights off while we were all there. And he was just so scared, but, like, we were just kind of creeping around as well, really not helping. Just, like, grabbing his ankle in like, really tense moments. Poor Ed. I may have exaggerated the story but slightly, but he was quite scared.
Quite mean, really.
I kept saying, like, you were right, Ed, and he was like,
no.
Yeah, you're fine. Carry on.
The other thing I'll say about Paranormal Activity 3 is the other thing that annoyed me in terms of the story. The first two... Although it's obviously about demons and paranormal activity, it's not contrived in its explanation of it. It doesn't want to go, oh, blah, blah, blah. It has a brief explanation in order to justify what's going on, and it works brilliantly. The third one has just gone ridiculous. When it gets to the end, it's gone down the route of, you know, mysterious cults and funny signs, and I just think that's not what it's about.
Hmm. Does it jump the shark?
Yeah, you've missed the essence of the franchise, I think.
Mm. Talking about franchise films, details of Step Up Forever have been announced.
Yeah, I heard about that.
August 10th is the release date.
I am editing this podcast, guys. And I am cutting that out. Any mention of Step Up will be removed.
Apparently it's the exact same plot as Step Up 3. So there you have it.
How can that
it
be done?
It's basically, I read the plot summary, it was like, oh, that's just Step Up 3. So, yeah, lazy.
I didn't realise Step Up films had
plots. It's very loose, and always ends up with...
Oh, no, I said this before.
People step
it's,
up.
It's always
plot.
Very loose, and...
Someone reckons they're not going to be good enough in the dance competition, and they show them they're wrong.
No, it normally just ends with the guy gets the girl, or the girl gets the guy in one of them. But, yeah.
Oh, there you go, diversity.
Yeah.
What's I know I've asked this
Sister
before.
Act 2, is it?
But what's that film where there's a ballet dancer and she has to end up doing another
dancing?
Would
be Save the Last Dance.
Save the Last Dance.
Yes, now that is a dancing film I can get behind.
Well, that's basically Step Up 1.
Which came out first?
Save the Last Dance came out.
That's because it's got Julia Stiles.
Save the Last Dance came out far before Step Up 1. And I would say Save the Last Dance is probably a better story than the first Step Up film. And also makes more sense. The first Step Up film's plot is quite weak. Whereas the second and third one have good plots.
You know, the whole...
Do they?
The only thing I'm keeping from that entire section is Chris saying the plot from Step Up 1 is quite weak.
Just randomly, no context
just
to it.
Just in between this and the next bit.
Peter, you did a quiz.
Yes. Oh, I did a quiz.
Ooh, you sounded cool. Shocked that you'd done it then.
Oh, I did a quiz. That's not a euphemism. Oh, I did a quiz. Right in my pants.
Also, quite quick, just one last thing on Step Up, very tiny, is, no, the nickname of this guy, of one of the actors in it, is Twitch.
Huh?
It's
Twitch.
No, because it's Twitch, but the W is capitalised.
T-Witch.
It's Stephen.
I'm sure
it's Stephen T-Witch Boss. Apparently,
like Bewitched, the girl band that was B.
And then no, because there's a star in the Bewitched name.
That's true.
It was an asterisk.
An asterisk, if you will.
Exactly. Sorry, Peter. Quiz.
Did you see what I did there? An asterisk, if you will. No, forget it. I don't even know if that's a lyric. It's say you will, isn't it?
Yeah, say you will.
Say you will, say you won't, say you'll do what I don't. Whatever, I don't know what the words are. That's ridiculous.
No, just
say you'll do what I don't.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Lazy bitch.
And it's say something, say la vie.
Exactly, which is clever because previously they've been saying say, the English S-A-Y, but in this case they've changed it to the French C-E-S-T to mean it is.
Can we stop talking about Bewitched now?
Sure.
If big fans are jumping.
This is worse than
they did like jumping Bewitched.
They were massive
man,
fans
but
of
that
jumping.
Is an easy jump to mimic. God, we were all doing the jump. Back
were
at
you?
School.
Yeah, were we?
Okay, let's do a quiz. Alright, this quiz isn't very good. It's not up to Lewis's usual standards, but in my defence, I have been quite ill and on quite a lot of medication.
And to be fair, you also had like 2 hours to put it together.
You were quite ill and on a lot of medication. Is question number one, which unicorn did I ride to the forest of...
Almost.
Mushroom.
Go on, let's finish that sentence. To the forest of...
mushrooms.
Right.
Forest of mushrooms.
Yep. The old mushroom forest.
Next to the Grand Canyon. It's not as big a tourist attraction.
Mm. It's got a big stupid canyon stealing all the thunder.
Yeah. So... I saw a thing somewhere at some point this week that was either movie plots, right, or game plots, or something like that, described in 6 words.
Oh, yeah. I was,
So I thought, I'll have a go at that, and then I'll give you the words, and you can give me the game or the movie. But then I thought, that's too easy, so all I needed was 4 words.
Right.
Which might make the quiz kind of difficult.
Amazing.
So I'm gonna
man,
say
gun, car, dead.
Yeah, me and the guy I sit next to at work, Joel. We were playing this because I think it was on Twitter, like six word movies, and we were doing like just every now and then while we were working, it's like, oh, hobbits go out, elves, dwarves help, and then I hope that's not
so,
one of them.
I know that one.
Yeah, that's not part of the quiz, so.
Is it Time Bandits?
Correct.
So I'm going to say 4 words, and they should sum up a film or a video game or a comic.
Ooh.
You're going to tell us which, for which? Like, are you going to say, number one, this is a movie?
Oh, I can do if you want.
That's a bit too
it might help.
It?
Just might it make it
really?
Easier. No.
Because I think right now it's looking like another anagram week.
To be fair, it is kind of all born out of a fever dream.
Dan got 9 in anagram week.
Yeah, but Dan is a freakish beast of anagram knowledge. Nobody should be that good at anagrams. We had like 2 seconds for each one.
Yeah, Dan was worryingly good.
No, you didn't.
Peter, did you listen to that?
No, not yet.
It's ridiculous.
I can't do anagrams.
No, meaning I got 0 out of 10.
I think I got like 3. Dan got 9.
Kev's answers were, Schleppy
was my favourite.
Yeah,
was it Schleppy?
Made an effort Schleppy to make new words out of it.
Yeah, I think Siphon Filter became Schleppy Fleur.
It's nearly the right answer.
Oh.
I think we should have dramatic quiz music. Like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, I've got that on my phone, actually.
Ah, oh, check it on. No, don't. I'll put it on in post.
Let's just do this quiz.
Okay, here we go. So, the first one is Little People Walk Lots.
Got that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, Angry Greek Murders Everyone.
Got that one. I'm doing good.
Okay. Number three, Stealing Cars, Shooting Things.
This is quite easy. I like it.
Is it good?
See, no, because
that could be anything.
Lots of movies and lots of games.
That's true. It could be. Oh, I didn't think of that. I haven't thought this through, have I? Okay.
I'm going to go with my initial...
Yeah, well, just whichever you've got on your answer sheet is the right answer. We'll just have to go
okay.
In.
Number four. Whiny Twat Gets Evil.
Whiny Twat Gets Evil.
Okay. Number five. Popping Pills in Darkness.
Oh, this is getting hard now. I approve.
Number six, Funny Like a Clown.
Oh, yeah, good man.
All right, number seven.
Is it really quick?
Sorry, do you need more time?
Well,
I can go back and do any that you missed.
Yeah.
Number seven, New York Squid Conspiracy.
New York Squid Conspiracy, what?
What?
Oh, Jesus,
number eight, Hipster Geek Loves Ramona.
Good boy. Ooh. Yeah.
Number nine, Normandy Without the Landing.
Normandy? Normandy Without.
That's quite easy.
Only if you know history.
Private Ryan.
Number ten. Earthquakes Kill Zoning Plans.
Earthquakes Kill Zoning Plans? What?
What? I don't even know what a zoning plan is.
What was number seven?
Number seven was New York Squid Conspiracy.
That's beautiful, but I have no idea what the
I've
answer is.
I've got 1-0.
I thought that'd be a great name for a band.
I've got 1-0.
What
was number four?
Number four was Whiny Twat Gets Evil. Some of these span like entire series.
Yeah, I figured some of them did.
Oh, I know that. No.
What was number five?
Number five was Popping Pills in Darkness.
Oh. I've got an answer for number four, but I don't think you'd ever reference him as a whiny twat. That's the problem.
How'd you put that in?
I'm going to have to go for it. It's the only one I've got. Five was Popping Pills in Dark, yeah?
Yep.
And six again?
Six was Funny Like a Clown.
That's a really good clue. I like it. I hope I'm right, but I think I am. It's a very good clue if it is.
Funny Like a Clown.
I reckon, because Chris has got it, it's a comic reference.
Right. Are we good?
Okay, yeah. Are we ready?
No, I haven't done well enough.
Right, I've got...
Well, now you know how what it feels like, eh?
I've got 8, and I'm confident of 6.
I've answered 7, and I'm confident of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I've answered all of them, confident of maybe 4.
I could win this.
Okay. Question number one, Little People
Lord
Walk Lots.
Is it Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah, well, it was...
I'm sorry, I basically had my own Lord of the Rings clue before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird coincidence.
Number two was Angry Greek Murders Everyone.
God of War.
I put the Captain of the Costa Concordia.
dear.
Oh, he was Italian. Yeah,
I put 300, so that's not right.
300 is a good answer, though.
He's Spartan, not Greek, anyway.
Well, that's the same thing, though.
Yeah. No, Jesus, no, it's not.
Try telling a Spartan that.
Spartans are from Greece. Spartans are from modern Greece.
Anyway.
Yeah, they are, but only
it's not on the answer sheet, so it's not right, I guess.
Yeah.
Spartans
are from Greece the way, like the Cornish are from England. But there are people in Cornwall that are quite militant about being Cornish.
Yeah.
Weirdos, I like to call them. Okay, number three was stealing cars, shooting
things. Grand Theft Auto.
Yes.
See, I put Grand Theft Auto and then I crossed it out and put God in 60 Seconds.
Yeah. See, I first put, like, Fast and the Furious. I was like, nah. I don't even know if they shoot anything in that. Mm. Or steal cars.
They do shoot things, then.
Grand Theft Auto. Can I have it? Because I did write it down, but I just crossed it out.
I think we should probably give Lewis that.
I don't. He's so unforgiving with his quizzes.
This isn't my quiz. Thank you, Peter. Yes.
Okay, number four. Whiny twat gets evil.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter doesn't end up evil. Have you got to the end of that series?
No, but some of the characters in Harry Potter are whiny and then get evil. I don't know.
No, it was not Harry Potter.
I put Sonic. When he goes into the Where Sonic or whatever it is.
No, it wasn't that either, Chris.
Oh.
No, I didn't get anything for it.
Oh dear, that was Star Wars.
Oh yeah.
So you were thinking Star Wars, the latterly released trilogy.
Yeah.
Do I get a point because I put Sonic?
No. You don't get a point.
You can't get like not even being right.
Do I get a point because I put the wrong answer?
Otherwise, every time Dan's on this podcast and he just writes Bono 10 times, we have to let him win.
Yeah, yes, Lewis, you get a point for effort. This isn't school now, all right?
Okay, fuck question you. Five was Popping Pills in Darkness.
Now, I can never remember the name of this film, but I've got a very specific film in mind, but I'm not sure it's the right film. But anyway, it's the one, I put down that one about drugs with the music.
Requiem for a Dream.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it wasn't about a film at all.
That's a shame.
I put Darkness.
Nope.
Bioshock.
Nope.
You can't just carry on guessing until you get
there. Or as you said, it's not about a film. I've definitely lost because I said 24-hour party people. But
no, it was Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah, that's quite good. I like that. That's a good clue.
Okay, number six was Funny Like a Clown.
Goodfellas.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah.
I put Batman the clown in this instance being Joker.
Do I amuse you?
Yeah.
Do I amuse you? Am I funny?
Funny how? Funny like a clown? Yeah.
Never seen it. So.
Good film.
Oh, it's a great film.
Very good.
Also,
film.
I thought before we started this quiz, we agreed that we were going to say what kind of medium it was.
No, because we said it would be too easy.
I didn't.
You should complain during the quiz, in a way. It's a bit late now.
Sure. No, I'm just saying. I mean, I complained at the time, but.
Okay, number seven, and this is very specifically a comic book.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Is New York Squid Conspiracy.
Is it the comic book known as Big Squid?
Is it The Boys?
No.
Is it Why the Last Man?
Is it Spider-Man?
No, Chris?
I'm trying to think if it's a comic book, but I can't think of it.
Oh, Chris, I knew it, but he doesn't.
No. No, this is
really?
This is why I didn't think I knew. I put Cloverfield at a random guess.
I put Cloverfield, I put Cloverfield.
Oh, no, it was Watchmen.
Oh, what's of course,
where's the squid?
In the ending to the original comic, it's a squid.
Oh, yeah.
The whole book, they're building a squid.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, they...
haven't read it into New York. Ages.
Yeah. Okay, number eight was Hipster Geek Loves Ramona.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Wasted.
Number nine was Normandy Without the Landing.
Mass Effect.
Yes.
Mm,
anyone else get that?
No, I didn't get it.
No.
I put Saving Private Ryan because I think somebody said it and I was like, yeah, I'll do that.
Number ten was Earthquakes Kill Zoning Plans.
Well, I guessed at the film 2012.
No.
Which
I've not seen.
I've put I Am Alive.
No.
Good guess, though.
What was it?
Chris, you didn't get that?
No.
That was Sim City.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
I don't know why that's a reference to Sim City.
because that happens in SimCity constantly. So yeah, it's like, oh, I had this nice fit. Oh, earthquake. I got 6.
Wow.
I got 4.
I got 3.
I win! Success!
Yes, Chris wins.
Well done, Chris.
Although I think you got 5, Lewis.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I did get 5. You're right.
I thought I got 3, but it has turned out to be 8.
I did. I got Lord of the Rings, God of War, Grand Theft Auto, Goodfellas, and Scott Pilgrim.
What's he laughing about?
Jubilant. He's laughing because we let him have Grand Theft Auto, little fucker.
He still didn't win.
Good quiz.
Yeah, well, yeah,
we gave you 3 points and you still didn't win.
You didn't give me 3 points.
You got the wrong answer.
Oh, you gave me 3 points.
Oh, fuck off.
No, that was a genuine moment of confusion.
No, I did as well.
Oh, fuck off.
Right. Well done. Good quiz.
There we go. Cool.
Question time.
I reckon we should take it in turns to do quizzes.
Yeah. I'm up for that.
Question time.
Chris is ignoring you.
Tom H. Lord says...
I've got a question before we start.
All right.
Just because, like, I'm the most important. Listen to me. I want to know what Kev wants to do for a new feature.
Well, no, I haven't got any specific ideas. I just thought it'd be nice to have a new feature.
You can't just be like, let's
my
introduce idea, a new
that's
feature.
Where my ideas really lay, was getting a new feature. Other than that, I haven't really thought any further.
So you didn't really think of a new feature.
Your idea was to have an idea.
What might be quite nice is if the listeners would like to, suggest something in the comments.
Don't give them that power.
I'm just saying. We'll choose
them. Throwing it over to the crowd.
They can suggest them in the comments, and we'll pick, maybe.
Or on Twitter or whatever, just like suggest a thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Do that.
Mate, I'll put a little forum post.
And we'll pick the one that we like the most.
Exactly. Or maybe make some sort of crazy amalgam of the suggestions.
yeah, exactly.
Probably not though.
We'll probably just do what's easiest. Really.
Yeah. Whichever requires the least effort on our behalf.
Alright. but sticking to the features we do currently have. question time. Tom H. Lord says, how many dancing-related films has Hal Pro watched? The first Step Up film's plot is quite weak.
Well, breaking news, Angry Birds Space has been announced.
They announced that, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, when I say breaking, I mean I just found out about it. I mean, it's actually...
I'm not sure that's how breaking news works.
Yeah.
If I had just discovered information about...
Well, it is, because when Sky you only find out about things, it's breaking.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if I found out information about the Second World War this week, it would really be breaking news.
There's a what war?
Breaking news, Archduke Ferdinand shot in Hungary.
No. Oh, my God.
Oh, I really liked him as well. He's one of the good ones.
He was. Great dancer.
His hip-hop stylings were particularly impressive.
Yes, they were.
AG2297 says, what are your opinions on the answers given in Meet the Reader articles when they ask Snog, Marry or Smother? I think that the options... Shark Pit now, as well as the last one, because there's 4 of us now.
I've stopped reading them because everyone seems to want to smother me.
I don't know.
That's not true. People have been smothering Chris all the time recently.
Yeah, I've died quite a lot recently. Peter never dies though. Ever.
I hadn't realised because obviously I've only just recently started being included. I think I've had my 3rd appearance now.
Yeah.
Just how much it means to you? What happens?
Yeah.
I check those every week now. Just skip the boring bits. Just get to the end, will
you? Don't care about your life.
No, God no.
What do you think of me?
I like that now that an extra option has been added to account for Kev, it's a worse option.
Shark.
You get thrown into a shark pit.
When it started,
I'd like that. That'd be like a dream for me.
Really?
Yeah. Who says they're man eating sharks?
He molested a couple of sharks on his way down.
I mean, that's true. He's got a point. I'd have to clarify with Teflon on that whether they're like white sharks.
Because it wasn't shark. The first one was a slap. I think.
White shark.
So,
it was Slap and it was Sharks, and it went back to Slap this week, but I think it's going to back to Sharks permanently on Sunday, which will be yesterday when this podcast comes out.
Yeah.
Peter never dies, and I seem to be dying a lot recently.
I think that's probably just because people feel sorry for
everyone.
Me,
always marry
so much of my
Pete.
Life so close to death.
I think, I think Peter. No, you get married a lot because
definitely
you
own marriage the, material.
Isn't this because you own Oscar Mike Media, so they assume you've got money? I think.
Naive fool.
Yeah, good one. Money.
They don't realise the entire role of Mrs. C is to take you to hospital occasionally.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Just make me tea.
Yeah, basically. Tea and cakes, and occasionally just go, you should probably go to the hospital now, Peter. And you're like, oh, yeah. Alright. Yeah.
Medical advice.
Yeah, so I don't know what we...
I think I just, you know, like to take this opportunity to thank the Meet the Reader, poll for snogging me every time I've appeared so far. Just
it's because you look like fucking Drake, that's why, you bastard.
A lot of them tell me that they want a bridge too far back.
Can I just, yeah. I just put a plea out there to stop killing me, please?
I don't mind if you want to kill me some weeks.
Yeah, kill me if you want. It would be sweet, blessed release.
That's what I like about you, Pete. Your unbounded optimism.
That there DJ at Second Nature who won, Peter, you'll be well jealous. You know those? I keep seeing things well as poor grammar.
Well gels.
Yeah. You know those the toy Normandy things models.
Ah, he didn't. The models.
Yeah,
Normandy.
He won it on Shop 2.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Who did?
Davs did. Oh. DJ at Second Nature, because I bumped into Joe Anderson this morning.
That's just not fair.
As I do. Apparently, I bump into Joe Anderson, like, when I'm walking to work and he's walking his kids to school, and I'm, like, half asleep, and we stop in the street for, like, 30 seconds, and then we leave again. So, yeah. There you have it. He says, why is someone always late to start the TSA cast?
Because I'm cooking.
Because he's cooking, or because I've come home from work and accidentally fallen asleep for 10 minutes. Or because Lewis has gone to have a fag.
What?
I'm always here because I don't have anything else
in Peter,
my life.
Although Peter...
You seem quite downbeat today.
Although Peter normally turns up, like, mere minutes before we start, he's always consistently here.
I'm normally here half hour before we start.
Yeah, and then you fuck off again. You're like...
I turn up about 5 minutes beforehand, and there's like three things in the chat of Lewis saying, hello, hello.
Yeah. And then Lewis is...
Why isn't anyone talking
and then
to
Lewis,
me?
Yeah, Lewis gets here half an hour before we're ready to go, and then we're like, all right, we'll start recording a minute, and Lewis is like, just gonna go have a fag. So yeah, that's what happens.
Problem?
No, it's fine.
Good.
And finally, Miffy Lou, who was on Meet the Reader this week and decided to kill me.
Hold a grudge.
No, not at all. She did say sorry, to be fair. On Twitter, I was moaning about it. I would fucking die. And she said she was sorry and felt really guilty. She said, going with AG2297 Meet the Reader food question, what brought you guys to TSA?
Davs.
Yeah, Davs was writing for him. So.
Killzone 2 trophies.
Davs wasn't writing for them, but he when I joined, but he was looking at them a lot.
He was writing for him when I joined.
What's all that about? Yeah, well, we were just battering you, because you were originally like Xbox correspondent when you first joined, weren't you?
Very briefly, yeah.
I'm sorry, well, sorry. I hate to interrupt and, you know, backtrack a bit. Hobo Castro is a bit of a cunt.
What?
Is this relevant to that question at all?
No, it's going back to Meet the Reader. The Snog Murray thing, I was just going because I haven't read him in a while.
Are you going back Snog through this to see what the results were for you?
Yeah, no, too right.
That's what I mean, it hooks you in. It becomes this sort of, you need it.
Snog Chris, marry Peter, sorry Lewis, despite loving your film reviews, you're a teacher.
What?
Thanks.
Of all the reasons.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's just your kind of desire to pass on knowledge to the next generation just really annoys me.
What a cunt. Sorry, you can carry on now. I was just outraged by that. I had to say something.
Fair enough.
So Lewis came because of Killzone 2 trophies. Peter?
And then I joined the T-Zone... blah, 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 the clan.
The clan.
That was when I really got into...
Clan!
Peter?
I can't remember. I remember finding it at one point just after I bought my PS3 and thinking that it was a funny name. Or thinking it was quite a clever name and that it was quite funny. And then I didn't come back for like a week. And then I thought to myself, I have to find it again. I remembered it and thought I'll go looking for it. And then I had to look for it and couldn't remember the name. And then I came back. I think it was something Alex wrote. It was like a blog that Alex had written, but I can't remember what it was about.
Back then, wasn't that kind of... It was one of two choices, a blog that Alex had written or a blog that Michael had written. There were options.
Oh, yeah, probably. No, there was other staff at that time. There was two others, I think, or three.
Yeah.
Different people.
Oh. Imagine
chipping
that.
In.
A TSA before Big P.
Yeah.
Imagine such a thing.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Crazy.
It must have been chaos.
Yeah, I think actually it was much happier.
Yeah. It's a much more positive and upbeat place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Not quite so much moaning.
So there you have it, Mifilu. That is the answer. That's all of the Twitter questions. I suppose there are probably some forum ones somewhere.
There's only one that's not Stephen, so...
Well, what's Stephen's? What's he want this week?
Well, oh, bums. I've navigated away from the page. It's all that looking at Meet the Readers.
That's right. I can pad with information about Step Up Forever.
No, it's okay. I've got it. Solid Stephen, who says, assuming direct Kupo, Kupo's what the Moogles in Final Fantasy say, I believe. Assuming direct, I wouldn't know what that meant. Anyway, he says...
Isn't a Moogle a bat-like creature?
Well, I thought it would be more like a sort of cat, but, in fact, Carl agrees with me on TSA. I never will. He says, comic geek, comic geek, posh... film critic and CEO, which is Chris, Kev, Lewis and Peter, would like you... Why am I just posh? I mean, frankly, the suggestion that I'm posh is of the utmost ridiculousness. I would like to carry on reading. Would like to ask you them some... forget it. He says, questions in this thread are to be answered only by the lads, or Chris will rage quit you out of existence.
I can actually
also,
do that.
Yeah, it's one of your powers. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if you're new to this, then all you need to do is just drop a few questions down in this thread. And then it just moves straight on to the questions. If the rumours about the Steam Box are true, what do you think it will be capable of?
They're not true, for a start. And it will be capable of running Valve's PC games as well as Valve wants them to run.
Yeah, can't say fairer than that.
They won't give a shit about things like Battlefield 3 looking pretty. They want it to be able to play Left 4 Dead and Portal.
Which is fair enough, because those are both very good games.
Yep.
But
I don't think that those rumours will end up being true.
Not entirely. Do you think the death of the gaming specialist will happen this year? What's the gaming specialist?
I assume he means, like, game.
No, because it depends what he means.
Retail, I presume.
No, but the gaming specialist retailer won't cease to exist because Shop 2, for example, will carry on going. But I think possibly we might see game go or have a very reduced role in the high street. It's going to be interesting to see. Because last week, as I said, I was quite upbeat about them, but this week it's looking like things are going bad for them. So
I think games business will certainly change this year.
Yeah.
Whether that involves going more online or whether it involves actually specialising a bit more. Who's to know? They might cut down to, like, concession stands in department stores or something.
Yeah.
But I think it will definitely change, but I don't know. I think that there will always be a specialist presence.
Yeah.
But what format that takes is...
We wouldn't call game specialists anyway. You ask them about games, they haven't got a clue.
Not necessarily. They do fill that sort of assisted sales niche, though, don't they?
Yeah.
They tell your granny what to buy you.
That's true. Yeah,
but
really,
not always helpful.
I really think little Timmy would love Call of Duty. You're clearly over 18, so you can buy it for him. Alright. He also says, do you think that EA is pushing Day One DLC too much?
No, not really.
Let him do it.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with day one DLC, even on the disc stuff. I think people get quite worked up about it, and I think that that is all part of what the budget is for making a game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and so, release schedules as well. Maybe they thought that they weren't even going to get to put this in the game, and they're like, well, we could do it as DLC, because then it doesn't matter if we'd miss the deadline. And then they go, yeah. Oh, well, we didn't miss the deadline, but now we can give them all this awesome content that we made.
And it's, I mean, like, things like Mass Effect 3, would BioWare have been given the budget to make that game if they couldn't have been reasonably sure that they can sell DLC for it, which elongates the revenue stream?
I guess we'll never know.
It's part of the model now. It's not, you know, it's not the con that some people seem to think that it is. It's just part of the sales model and part of the funding structure for making modern games now. And whether or not you
don't have to buy it on day one.
Yeah, well, that's true. Whether or not that you like that or not is another question, but I don't think that it's there's anything necessarily disingenuous.
I know that the counter-argument is kind of, well, I'm buying the game now, how come you can't give me all the content? Or how come you didn't just put it all in the first bit, or you're releasing it at all? But I don't think...
Yeah, but, they develop... This thing takes time and money to make it, so the counter-argument to that...
Yeah, and we're talking years as well. Like, the time it takes to make the game isn't just...
The counter-argument to that, then, is, well, yes, you can have it on day one if you want, but it's going to make the price of games go up by £5.
Yeah. Which they complain about more.
Yeah, and it means that if you don't want it, you don't have to pay that extra money.
And also, by the time you've completed a game like Mass Effect, the DLC's probably gone down in price. And it wouldn't have done if it wasn't day one. So...
And the on-disc DLC stuff as well, I think there's some of that is... Like, people this week were getting quite annoyed about the Street Fighter X Tekken stuff. Cross Tekken, whatever it is. And I think that there is logic there as well in that, because there was a bit of a mess with
Kiss,
Mortal
by
Kombat.
The way. I think it's Street Fighter Kiss Tekken.
There was some problems with the Mortal Kombat DLC in that people couldn't fight online with DLC downloads, because obviously not every gamer has them. So they had to release big update patches for it that had the DLC characters in the updates.
But not available.
Whether you bought them or not, you had to get them. They just remained locked. Whereas if they're on the disc already, you don't have to download those big title updates. You just download the little unlock key, and if you happen to be fighting online against somebody that has bought the DLC, then you can still see their character, because it's on your disc. So, I don't know, I think there's a lot more to it than just this simple black and white, whether it's honest and whether it's necessary, and I think it's all bound up in different funding models, and I don't know. I don't personally have any sort of issue with it.
Well, there you go.
So there you go.
There you have it. The Oracle has spoken.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I do tend to go on about things sometimes.
So I had to do it last week when you went here. It was terrible.
He also says, what games would you love to see ported to your console of choice? I don't know where he was from when he was saying that, by the way. It can be a game from any generation, he says, as a little caveat there.
I don't know. That's tricky.
I mean, you say ported, like, is it just like a direct, exact replica of the game as it was?
Or is it in See, it's difficult to answer that because I have access to all the platforms now. So, like, if I want to play Gears of War 3, I can just play it on my Xbox. Whereas,
but what if
some
you play,
don't have that.
Pitfall.
I don't want to play Pitfall.
Well,
Flashback. I would quite like Flashback to be available on everything.
Yes. What is that?
I bought Flashback is a game by Delphine Software from the early 90s, like 92, 93, maybe, I think.
Why don't
it was on the Mega Drive.
I'm Googling.
He revealed the other week he's never heard it or played it.
I did. That's probably why I don't remember.
It's really, really good. I'd kind of like that to be available. I also bought this week.
It also seems to be a trendy bar in Islington.
Okay.
I should have done about trendy.
I bought Sid Meier's Pirates again this week so that I could play it on my Vita.
Nice.
That makes, I think, maybe 7 times now I've bought that game on different platforms and different times through history. So, more of that.
So it's a film from 1990 starring Dennis Hopper and Kiefer Sutherland with an awful front cover. Flashback. You heard of that?
I vaguely know
it. In 1989, clean-cut FBI man John Buckner is detailed to escort heavily bearded Huey Walker back to jail for offences dating back to his days as a celebrated hippie radical. After Walker dupes Bruckner on the train and himself falls into the hands of a couple of well-meaning refugees from the 60s, the two men with apparently nothing in common find themselves on the run together. But appearances can be deceptive.
Sounds thrilling.
It really does. the straight guy is played by Kiefer, and the bearded guy is Dennis Hopper, in case you're interested. I don't know why Kiefer gets just the first name, but there you go. What are we talking about?
Questions.
Oh, yeah, okay. So.
Did anybody else want to say anything ported?
No.
No, wait. First.
Pandemonium.
Journey? Can they put Journey to the PlayStation? Yes.
Pandemonium.
Pandemonium was pretty good.
Oh, I liked Pandemonium.
But even at the time, I remember thinking that the little watermelons that you jump on, which were just sprites that always faced the camera, just really annoyed me.
Yeah, but still Pandemonium.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Nicky and Fargus, of course. A boon. What the hell's a boon? It's a wish, you idiot. Yeah, still remember the cutscene.
Never played it.
Oh, you missed out. I got that with my PlayStation 1. It was one of the launch titles I got with it.
Ooh,
that
FIFA...
Actua Soccer.
FIFA 98.
Oh, FIFA Road to World Cup 98 with Footix, the mascot.
Road Rage.
Oh,
that would be quite good.
Yeah. Road Rash, did you say?
Which one was the one where you got to punch people on the way past?
Yeah, Road Rash.
Road Rash, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yes, I would like to see that available everywhere. Hey, I'd quite like to see Journey and Flower on the Vita as well.
Mm. There you go. That is
speaking of Rash, there's a... Now, let me clarify, this isn't a personal story. Just an email address of somebody I work with, or, well, a person that we work with, whose name is Rash Mystery. Their first name is Rash, their second name is Mystery.
Whose surname is Mystery?
I don't know. Anyway, their email address, their system for email addresses was switched so that their surname went first. So their email address was Mystery Rash.
Oh my god.
That's not
client's
good.
Name.
Yeah, amazing. That's definitely not good.
Just amazing. Sorry to interject.
You think someone would be like, oh, we'll make an exception to the email policy.
Yeah, does it have to be Mystery? I'd really rather my first name went first. I mean, Rash Mystery is in itself still a kind of
and just
an
weird
idea.
More than anything. Just sounds like a grammatically poor sentence, but...
Or maybe like...
Is it not like an Indian name?
Maybe.
There's an Indian guy called Jimmy Mystery.
There is. He was.
I used to be in a keyboard group with a guy called Adrian Strange. That was his actual
I name. Used to know a girl called Crystal Ball.
Nice.
Oh, that's amazing. That's just dickish parents, though, but it's still amazing.
Her parents were real hippies, too.
Just yeah, like, my housemate, you're such a twat. But
my old housemate, Kat, her surname was Bud, but she had a sister called Rose.
Oh.
Again, parents. That's just mean. Right.
Symposium says, if you were to turn your name, it's were, but he's used an H, so... If you were to turn your name into something that is in another language, what would it be? I mean, there's tenses all over the place, there's spelling mistakes, but we'll let him off, because he's a regular poster. If you were to turn your name into something that is in another language, what would it be?
I'm not really sure what that question... I'm confused.
If you were to have a foreign name, what would you like? I think is what he's asking.
Oh.
Le Bibliothèque.
Le Bibliothèque, ooh, nice.
I'd quite like to be called Mystery.
Mystery Rash.
Juan.
Juan is Juan good, shit. Yeah, like Juan.
I get called Pedro quite a lot.
By who?
Just general people I've worked with, or people I went to school with, or people...
Pedro!
I don't know.
and a lot more now that you've said it on the podcast.
Jack?
Yeah, okay. You know that Stephen's not going to let that one go.
I wouldn't mind being Jacques. Jacques.
Jacques reminds me of the shrimp from Finding
Nemo. Yeah, that'd be good. He's cool. I like that shrimp. He's right.
Maybe Jex.
It's French.
J-E-X. Not sure what language it is, but...
That's totally a language, whatever.
I'm sure there is at least one human on this planet called Jex, J-E-X.
Oh, yeah, but I'm not sure it's something like in a language.
Aren't really in a language. They're common to countries which speak a language, but they don't mean things. Well, I suppose they do mean things.
I was going to say,
they completely do. No, you got me there.
Lewis
shut my mouth.
But I think if there's like anything, maybe montage. I think montage would be a good
thing. I think Kevin actually means handsome. And I'm not joking. I think that's actually what it means. That sounds massively big headed. But, yeah.
It doesn't just sound like it.
Peter means rock.
Peter does mean rock.
Isn't that what Paul means as well?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Look up my meaning of
this. This is important. We need to look it up.
Irish and Gaelic origin, the meaning of Kevin is handsome or beloved. Handsome beloved.
Oh, awesome. Lewis means fame and war.
Nice.
Paul means small and humble.
No, it was St. Peter was who founded the Catholic Church, not St. Paul.
Yeah.
St. Peter.
The rock upon which my church is built.
Yes.
Apparently it means stone.
Although, apparently, well, rumoured to be quite literally the rock upon the church, which the church is built. It's where apparently it's meant to be buried in the catacombs, beneath the Vatican.
There's nothing for Chris. Just says it's of Scandinavian origin.
Well, thanks.
I think it's only talking about one with a K, though.
Well, yeah, but because it means Christian, doesn't it? It means faithful to Christ.
Yeah,
I'm really not that much.
Scandinavian.
You're right in the it means Christ thing, but it's Greek in origin. The Chris with a CH, meaning bearing Christ.
Not how you spell my name, though.
No. The one with a K is Scandinavian. Scandinavian.
Yeah, right. I'm not particularly faithful to Christ either, to be honest, so...
I'm always cheating.
I knew
Christ.
A woman once who was from... I think she was from Turkey, but her name was Aysu, and apparently in Turkish that means moon pool.
Moon pool. Nice.
Oh, that was quite peculiar.
Quite nice, and that's it for forum questions.
Yeah. Excellent. This has been episode 55 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast.
Brutally short.
Leave us comments about what you'd like to see as a new feature on the podcast.
If indeed you'd like to see one. Equally, leave us a comment saying, just leave it alone. You know, that's
maybe,
fine too.
Maybe you'd like to see less podcast. Who knows?
Less features. Fewer features, I should say.
Yeah. Here's a feature. Do a podcast under an hour.
Here's a feature. Yeah. You know, professionalism. Or
fact checking.
More about Tesco. Something like that.
Yeah. We could do a weekly Tesco
feature.
I'm not
sure that's going to crop up.
Tough Cub's going to go mental when he realises the extent to which we fact-checked Tesco. But not.
More than you've ever fact-checked anything for the podcast.
Yeah. And names. Fact-checked Paul. The name Paul. But no, we can't fact-check actual statements we make. This has been episode 55. I've been, as per usual, but not always, as Lewis always connects me. Your host, Chris Escobar.
Connects you? Correct. I don't connect you on anything.
Correct me. I've been joined this week by Editor-in-Chief of Successes.com and Managing Director of Oscar White Media and person who is no longer sick, Peter Chapman.
Still pretty sick.
But
a skateboarding way.
Who's no longer, like, dying.
You're like, sick, mate.
He can get a Twitter.com/ColossalBlue. Also been joined this week by Editor-in-Chief over at ScreenDemon.com, Lewis Gaston. You get
that's me.
Twitter.com/LewisGaston. And finally, been joined this week by iOS developer extraordinaire Kev Adset. You can get at Twitter.com/Kevatron400. You can get me, Chris Lipscomb, at Twitter.com/HelpPro. Which more and more people seem to be doing, weirdly. I don't like it.
Can you wrap this up, Lung Pimp?
Yeah, I can. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, bye. Everybody.
Bye. that, I believe, is what they call an industry age.
I have wraps today for lunch.